This Vision Australia Radio Talking Tech podcast is made possible by Vision Store. Remember, all Vision Stores are open to the general public. You don't need to be a Vision Australia client to visit. Pop in any time to browse and shop the latest in assistive technology and more.
Hello everyone, welcome to Talking Tech, this edition available from April the 16th, 2024. I'm Stephen Jolly, great to have you with us wherever you're listening, maybe through Vision Australia Radio, associated stations of RPH Australia, or maybe the Community Radio Network. There is also the podcast. To catch that, all you need to do is search for the two words Talking Tech, and down it can all come, usually on a Tuesday afternoon, just after it's been produced. Another option is to ask your Siri device or smart speaker to play Vision Australia Radio Talking Tech Podcast. Vision Australia Radio Talking Tech Podcast. With me, someone who can explain all this tech stuff really well, Vision Australia's National Advisor on Access Technology, David Woodbridge. David, let's start with our product minute. This is an item from the Vision Store of Vision Australia. And it's to do with mobility, being out and about.
It is. So this is to attach your mini guide to your mobility cane. Now, let me just backtrack a bit. So what this actually does, it's a holder, as the name suggests, to attach your handheld mini guide sonar-based orientation mobility device. And what it is, it's a device that you normally hold in your hand and you point it forward. And because it has this high frequency ultrasound that hits objects and bounces back and makes the mini guide vibrate, depending on what you've got it set to. So it might be to detect an object 1 meter away, 1.5, 2 meters, 4 meters, up to a whopping 8 meters away. That's fine if you've got a hand available to hold the mini guide, but if you don't, then what this holder does, it allows you to attach that mini guide to the cane. And then because it's got sort of this sort of rotating type screw device on the mechanism that holds it on, you can actually put the mini guide into what orientation you like, whether it's pointing straight ahead, up a little bit if you're going near trees or whatever else you might want to do. Now, I just want to say something about the product description, which I'll hopefully let the guys know to correct this week, is on the description, it actually says that you've got to use cable ties to attach the holder to the cane. Now, when I got mine this week, what it is a little O-ring. And this O-ring has got a screw. So you undo the screw and it lets the O-ring expand. And then you slide that O-ring onto either your part of your metal part of your cane or your handle. I've done my handle. And then as you tighten the screw up, it tightens that O-ring. So you get a very nice solid connection to your cane. And then you just pop the mini guide into the holder part. And then you adjust the angle with this little lever, which way you want the mini guide pointing. So because it's got the O-ring, then you don't need cable ties to attach the holder to the cane. That might have been on an original version, but this new version fits on very nicely. It's nice and snug. It holds the actual mini guide very nicely, and it really does work. So if you want to turn your cane into a bit of a smart sonic type cane, this works really nicely. So all you need is both the mini guide holder and, of course, the mini guide.
And what's the cost of the mini guide holder?
It's about $99, which I originally thought, oi, that's a bit pricey. But when I got it, it's so well designed and so well built that I thought, yeah, sometimes when you get things that are made very well and good quality, you think, yeah, that's fine. That's worth the price.
Excellent. We talked last week about the BT Speak Pro, which is the device from Blazy Technology with the little Braille keypad on it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about its availability.
So Vision Australia has received quite a few inquiries about the BT Speak Pro from Blaze Technologies. And I don't know if we made it extremely clear in the last episode that it's currently only available in the United States from Blaze Technologies themselves, because they've only been shipping this new product since March 1. At the moment, I think they just want to maintain control over servicing and support and supply and those sort of things. I did contact them last week and asked them about what their plans are for international distributorship, and they said, look, for the moment, we'd much prefer to have control over the whole Wo2Go process because we want to maintain great consumer support and so on. So as soon as it's available internationally and or at Vision Australia, I'll definitely let people know. But for the moment, you would need to purchase it from the United States and, of course, pay shipping for it.
Microsoft, looking at the idea of having ads right up front.
Yes, I was just completely startled by this particular one. So what they're doing is on the current Windows Insider build, which is like a pre-development version of Windows, this is for Windows 11, in the United States, what Microsoft is apparently testing are putting ads in your start menu, which of course you can go into settings and turn off. But I just thought, is this turning into some sort of TV set operating system-wise? Because why on earth, and I know why on earth you'd want to do it, but why on earth from a consumer point of view would you want to have to navigate past ads on your start menu? Yes, it's a great way from a commercial point of view to raise revenue and, you know, get people to pay ads on Windows in general. But I just thought, this is just getting really, really ridiculous. It's an operating system. It's not an application. It's not a web page. It's not a television set. I just think this is a really bad way for even Microsoft to even think about doing in the first place.
Let's talk about SD cards now, those secure digital storage things that are so small, about thumbnail size, I think.
Indeed.
They're likely to even grow more in capacity in the next year or so.
Indeed. So apparently next year they're going to be hitting 4 terabytes of space, which is enormous. Now, one could be misled on thinking that this is a really great thing, because in one way it is, but in the other way, people also need to be reminded by the fact that any memory card or flash stick or USB stick, we used to call them, or thumb drive, they're only meant to be temporary storage. Because if I had something that was 4 terabytes, I'd go, oh, well, look, I'll just keep my podcasts on there, or I'll just keep all my karate notes on there, or I'll keep my life story on there, and I won't need to worry about it. But that's a really dangerous thing to do because, as I keep saying, it's temporary storage. It's meant to be used to transfer information from one device to another. If you can't do it via a Wi-Fi network, or us Apple users use AirDrop and so on. So I think it's great, particularly if you want to have something that produces very large files. But otherwise, I think it's a little bit on the dangerous side.
Let's talk about Apple now. They continue to see 8 gigs as the default size for RAM.
They've been doing this now for a good, I want to say a good decade. And I don't know why, because yes, you can definitely get away with using 8 gigabytes of RAM in your Mac with VoiceOver if you want to do basic functions like mail, web browsing, word processing. So as you start doing large amounts of data crunching and processing like video editing, number crunching and so on, you do need more memory. And because Apple's memory is traditionally very, very expensive, then you might as well buy it up front. So on Windows, I always say 16 gigs of RAM. So what I'm really going to start saying these days, to protect yourself in the future and not get ripped off by having to pay for extra memory from Apple, then you might as well just bite the bullet and get 16 gigs, same as you do with Windows.
If you've got a iPhone 12, anyone in that family, is there really a need to go up to 14, 15 at this stage?
No, particularly if you've got a 12 Pro, which is, of course, when the LiDAR stuff came in for us doing, you know, people detection, door detection, all that sort of cool stuff in the Magnifier app within iOS itself. Because I saw an article last week about apparently Apple, and I haven't seen this personally, I've only read the article about the link on the Apple's website, trying to convince people to update from the 12 in particular, the 12 Pro, to the current version. And what they were saying was, you know, it's better camera, it's more storage, it's built to last. Well, if your existing phone's already got a camera that meets your own needs, your storage when you bought it meets your own needs, and it's built to last, i.e. it's still going after a number of years, then the arguments for upgrading aren't really valid. So what I would say to people is that if there's a new specific software function that will only run on the, let's say, the iPhone 16 this year, or there's a particular hardware feature that you're really, really, really looking for, that's the reason to upgrade. It's not the fact that it's got a better camera, better this, better that, more of this, more of that. It's the fact that it's giving you extra functionality that you might need for your specific reason. So don't rush out and update if you don't have to.
Now, we might see more iPads and MacBooks this year with another chip, the M4.
Yes, the M3 only came out 5 months ago, and all the gossip is at the moment is that Apple's going to be releasing the M4 chip probably in the next, well, I don't know, but maybe in the next 6 months or so, particularly for the Mac. But of course, because it's sharing the same chip, if you like, to do with the iPads and so on, we're probably going to see it in the iPads coming up as well. And of course, this is all about artificial intelligence. So it's making all the neural engines and the other processing stuff that goes on the chip to make using AI much more efficient. So I wouldn't be surprised this year if we see not only Macs with M4 chips, but also iPads as well.
And AI seems to be embedding itself into lots of applications and devices. Seeing AI, tell us what's happening there.
Just to remind people briefly what Seeing AI is, it's a application that has different options in it, which they call channels, to do different functions with your camera, such as optical character recognition, so reading print off a menu in a restaurant, barcode reading, face recognition, scene detection, all that sort of cool stuff. And there's a category in there, or the channel, that's called World. Now, what World traditionally does is allow you to do scene detection or people detection around you. What Microsoft has actually just done, because it is a Microsoft app, is added this function called Find My Item in the World channel, which means rather than just telling you specifically that you've got a couple of bags around you, for example, or a couple of sets of keys, you can say, I want to identify my keys or my bag, or in my case, my coffee cup, so that when I put it down and I can't find it, I can go to the World channel, select Find My Item, select, in my case, David's coffee cup, and it will only look for David's coffee cup. And of course, the reason why that works so well is because initially, when I go to find my item, I then say add item. It then wants me to take a picture in different situations of my coffee cup. And then that's what it looks for when you actually do it. And just a warning, when you do this, because it says to you to start doing initial photos or images on a table, make sure you've got room behind you, because it will actually ask you to step backwards up to about 2 meters away. So that's just a tip for using the application in this particular function.
There are these apps that have been around for some time, like Seeing AI, and they just evolve, and you've got to be careful to keep on top of all the exciting new features, haven't you?
You do, and one way of doing that is two ways that I always do, is when you go in and update your apps within the App Store app itself, have a look at the what's being updated just below where it's got, you know, update for this app, or go and look in the history for each application, again, within the App Store app, and that will tell you. Because I sometimes forget when I go and use an application, or you hear on the internet that there's a function in this particular app, we think, oh no, I remember that one. I used to use that when it first came out last year or something. So that's a good way to keep up to date with what's changing, because these apps add new functions all the time. And yeah, if you haven't visited your full functionality of your app for a while, I'd go and just double check to see what's changed.
With apps updating, there are two options. You can have it so that it automatically happens behind the scenes. And there's one where you explicitly go and check whether there are updates and then download those updates. Now, that's a very good reason for using that second option rather than it just all happening behind you.
Correct. And that's exactly why I've got my automatic app updating turned off, because I want to see what's being changed as I update apps.
Before we go, a reminder of where there are details of what we've been talking about in this and previous editions of the program.
As always, you can check out my blog site, which is davidwoodbr.podbean.com.
davidwoodbr.podbean.com. To write to the program,
you can write to me at Vision Australia, where I work, which is david.woodbridge@visionaustralia.org.
david.woodbridge@visionaustralia.org. This has been Talking Tech. With me has been Vision Australia's National Advisor on Access Technology, David Woodbridge. I'm Stephen Jolly. Take care. We'll talk more tech next week. See ya.
This Vision Australia Radio Talking Tech podcast is made possible by Vision Store. Remember, all Vision stores are open to the general public. You don't need to be a Vision Australia client to visit. Pop in anytime to browse and shop the latest in assistive technology and more.